Please turn in your Bibles to the little letter of 2 Peter. And we'll read in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. Hear God's word. For we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For when He received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to Him by the majestic glory. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with Him on the holy mountain. And we have the prophetic word more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. But know this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this, your word. Grant us grace and understanding as we have this short time to look into it. And we pray that the morning star will arise in our hearts, and the day will dawn in our hearts, so that we more fully comprehend and understand Jesus Christ through His Word. We pray in His good name. Amen. Amen. The Associated Press reported on Saturday that the first gay marriage was conducted in the Protestant chapel at the United States Military Academy at West Point. Having some interest in that, I noted that article. At the same time, in Kansas City, Missouri, a professional football player shot and killed his girlfriend and then went to the football stadium and, in the presence of his coach, killed himself. In the former case, nothing was said about the morality of the marriage, but in fact the marriage was lauded, and in the latter case blame was affixed to the gun. We live in an upside down world, don't we? We have succumbed to political correctness and abandoned biblical correctness. And in our text this morning, there is a plea given to us by the Apostle Peter not to abandon biblical correctness, but to bear down on the content of the more sure word we find in the Bible. And you and I are here at Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary not to refine our political correctness, but friends, to refine our biblical correctness. And so that's where I want you to go with me this morning, is in the refinement of your biblical correctness by bearing down on the more sure word of Scripture. Peter says in verse 16, "For we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." To whom is Peter speaking? Well, in chapter 3 he says, "Now, beloved, this is the second letter I am writing to you." And at the beginning of his first letter, Peter indicates that he's writing to the churches in what we would call now northern Turkey, in the areas of northern Galatia and Cappadocia and Pontus, an area into which Paul, interestingly enough, was forbidden to go by the Holy Spirit. And Peter, it seems, preached the gospel to the Jews in this particular area. And he made known to them the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter says that he is willing to go out into these areas and preach the gospel and make known the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he himself beheld the majesty of Christ firsthand. You and I have the privilege of enjoying the majesty of Christ through the Word of God and through the proclamation of the Word of God. But Peter says, no, firsthand I had the privilege. Continuing on in the text, he says, "But we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For when He received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to Him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.' And we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with Him on the holy mountain." On the mountain of transfiguration, there Peter, James, and John witnessed the glory of Jesus Christ. And they heard from heaven, the voice of the Father, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." I remember years ago sitting in a Sabbath school class in Oklahoma, and one of the men in the class, who was a relatively new convert, raised his hand and said, I wish I had been back at Mount Sinai so I could have heard the voice of God on the mountain." I said, "Well, you may wish that were the case, but I submit to you that you are far better off now in your circumstance when you have the written Word of God." And this is where Peter is going with our text. You see, he says that Peter, James, and John, we were together on the mountain, and we heard the audible voice of God on that mountain. And then you notice what Peter says in verse 19. The New American Standard Version reads, "So we have the prophetic word made more sure." And in the New American Standard Version, there are a couple of words in italics indicating they're not in the original. And literally it says, "And we have the prophetic word more sure." In other words, Peter says, we have a more sure word than an audible voice which we recall hearing on the mountain. You get the comparison he's making? And what is this prophetic word? Well, he tells us in verses 20 and 21. "But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God." Verses 20 and 21 are verses we readily use to speak about and to teach the inspiration of Scripture. And verse 19 indicates that, or verse 20 indicates that the prophetic word about which Peter is speaking is Scripture. And Peter is readily contrasting on one hand the written word of Scripture and an audible voice heard from heaven. And Peter is saying that these words of Scripture are more sure than this audible voice. Be wary of following so-called audible voices. Be wary. The more sure word is Scripture. And the reason Scripture is the more sure word is that it is written. And we can readily go back to the written Word of God to get the Word of God. Professor Williams will appreciate this. I remember in seminary opening up my Hebrew Testament and thinking to myself, you can't get any closer than this. You can't get any closer to what God has said than these words written on these pages. This is the very Word of God. And this is why you study Hebrew. And this is why you study Greek. To get down to the very words of the living God given to you and to me in writing. And these words are a more sure word. You all know the little game that's played, don't you? Where you get in a circle and someone gives a message to one person in the circle, and the task is to relay the message around the circle. And there's always someone on the far side of the circle who purposely changes the message. So when the message comes around, it's not the same. And this is what happens in oral transmission. Is this not the case? That the message is easily changed and our minds and our memories are feeble and we don't remember exactly what was said. Even 2 or 3 minutes ago, when we transmit the message a classmate or a spouse has given to us, we are liable to misinterpret the message and to falsely transmit the message. The written word is the more sure word. And Peter is bearing down on this, and he wants you and he wants me to always repair to this more sure word, whether we are speaking in a public way from a pulpit like this, or whether we're counseling in a private setting, one-on-one, or whether we're teaching in a Sabbath school class in the church, or whether we're sitting down with our children to transmit to them the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's always the scriptures to which you and I must go. The Bible is the more sure word. And that's the message for this morning. Always go back to the more sure word found in the Bible for your answers to the difficult questions of life. Amen. One of my West Point classmates, in an email, said in response to the gay marriage in the cadet chapel at West Point, "Oh, the chapel won't fall into the Hudson." That's a great response, isn't it? To their credit, the cadet chaplains at West Point wouldn't perform this wedding. To their credit. They were more concerned with biblical correctness than with political correctness. Let that same attitude be within each one of you, friends. And remember verse 19 of our text. And we have the prophetic word more sure, to which you do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And thank you for a place where together we stand on Scripture. And we pray that in this place, at Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary, this will always be the case, that we will stand on Scripture, and because we stand on Scripture, we will stand for Jesus Christ. And we pray that in the individual congregations represented here this morning, this will always be the case, that we will stand on Scripture and always be reminded of the fact that we may hear the voices of political correctness and cultural correctness and academic correctness, but the voice that takes priority is your voice speaking in Scripture, which is the more sure word. Grant us grace to always be grounded in it, we pray. In the good name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.